Are you ready?
Nope, we're not ready.
No! I said, are you ready?
Can we get Dustin to shut the hell up now?
It might have been the greatest sporting moment as a fan in my life.
Usually, I think it goes without saying, the best crowd of the year.
Joseph, you son of a bitch. I don't know what his play calling was in the last. Oh, that was terrible.
As far as, you know, neutral fans, you guys, watching that game, was it as enjoyable as, you know, like, what was, like, was it a great game to watch?
I liked it. So. I actually liked it, man. I'm not a big Lady Gaga fan, but I thought it was interesting. It was entertaining.
Of being able to maintain a high level of play up until 38, 39, 40 years old. But they pay the price when they hit the wall.
You think Melo goes to Cleveland?
Oh, please. Are we still talking about this? Are you serious?
I will say that this weekend we witnessed the GOAT.
You're goddamn right. Bill Belichick.
We witnessed the GOAT. It's Bill Belichick, not Brady.
Most epic comeback in history, or is this the most epic collapse in history? Or is Tom Brady just that goddamn lucky?
For greatest of all time, at an individual position, individual stats weigh more to me than a team accolade.
The point has always been it's the combination of the stats and the championship that make it the best.
When you find that magical algorithm, Joe, and you can print it on a piece of paper and then send it out to the world, we'll worry about it. But everybody's going to hold different things at different values.
Like Steve Carell looked creepy with a mustache. I didn't care for that. I found two pictures of me that show that I'm better looking than Tom Brady.
Okay.
You bet.
All right.
You bet. Fuck you, Chris.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was.
That is the best opening I've ever heard of anything ever.
It's the greatest thing of all time.
Ever in your whole life, Jeremy. That's the best thing you've ever heard.
You know why? Because I'm in it.
Buy one, get one free.
Yeah. Oh, fat joke. Oh, I tell you, McSwiggin, you're a goddamn genius. Oh, nothing gets by you, Chris.
It wasn't necessarily a fat joke. It was kind of a fat.
Sure as hell sound like it to me.
Person joke. What was that about you being cheap, though, too? You being
cheap. I'm not cheap. I'm not you. Anyway. I'm not cheap. I can afford a haircut.
Cheap.
Please.
I have a haircut. I got a fresh shape up right now. So anyway,
oh, yeah?
We are here, the New Look Radio here, and I think that we have a lot of interesting stuff going on in sports right now, guys. And we left off talking about.
Hey, we have 36 new views of Sports Roundup, by the way.
Gorgeous.
Oh, beautiful. 36.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice. I love 36.
All right.
So.
Keep going.
Where we left off last night was the Celtics. Boston Celtics, and we left off with Isaiah Thomas. But first, before I get to that, because I have a pretty interesting question for you guys regarding IT4. But my question, see that?
We're calling him IT4 now, by the way.
You have TB12. I mean, geez. So anyway.
I got number 269.
The question is, Joe, are you an iced coffee guy?
Yes.
Okay, I was in Massachusetts yesterday.
Not surprised.
Something for work. Yeah, it was Western Mass. It was the Berkshires. It wasn't anything special, but
it's a different state, pretty much.
I was in there. Yeah, for the most part. Well, once you get past Springfield, it's a different animal. But anyway, so I'm sitting there, and I got a coffee from a place that I was curious if you're just going to completely chew my head off here, being a Worcester East person here, but Honeydew coffee, does it compare to Dunkin' Donuts?
No, it doesn't, but I'm not going to chew your head off because Honeydew
it's
has been around
good.
A long time. Did you like it?
I did enjoy it. I did.
Okay. Yeah. When I've gotten stuff from Honeydew, I used to have a Honeydew right outside when I had an apartment down in Mansfield, Massachusetts. There's a Honeydew. There was no Dunkin' Donuts in the whole town. There was a Honeydew, like, two blocks from where I live.
That's a shocker.
I'd go there. Yeah, I know, really. It was weird. I'd go there and I'd get my stuff, but it never quite measured up to Dunkin' Donuts. I didn't think some of their, I get a little adventurous and get some of their different flavored coffees and stuff, and they it was not good. So they're a little bit, they're kind of the, you know, if you're gonna buy generic, if you go to Walmart and you buy the great value brand, you go to Starbucks.
They're the best
generic brand
of coffee.
Honeydew is like the generic brand coffee around here. Dunkin' Donuts is still king. F Starbucks. But Honeydew, no, it's respectable if you wanna, you know, for as an alternative.
All right, now did I think that it compares to Dunkin'? No, I mean I'm sipping on a Dunkin' right now, but I had one. And
congratulations.
I had driven past Honeydew's, but I had never stopped into one. And on my way down to the studio here today, I stopped in and I was like, oh hey, you know, I'm gonna get a Dunkin'. But then as I was taking a sip, I was like, I'm going to ask Joe about that because I know that it's a Massachusetts thing. Jeremy, I don't think they got Honeydew's down near you, do they?
I don't think. We used to have a Best Eaten down here, but that kind of closed.
Yeah, there used to be a lot
of
them.
I've heard of it. I think I've seen them at, like, rest stops and stops. Like,
yeah, there used to be a lot of them around, you know, 10, 20 years ago, but Dunkin' Donuts bought most of them up. There's few and far between now.
Roy Rogers needs to come back, by the way. That's all I'm saying.
Roy Rogers.
True. I'm with it.
Yes.
No, Roy
yes.
Rogers. Joe, if you're a fried chicken guy, Roy Rogers is the man.
Yes.
The only, now,
really?
Now, there's only two of them in the state of New York, and one's on the thruway.
You have one?
And one's on the
I don't have any Connecticut.
Yeah.
I'm depressed.
I don't even think we have.
Jeremy,
we
I
have
got
any,
one.
There might be one on the Mass Pike, but.
There used to be
one
on the Mass Pike, but I think it closed.
Yeah. If I hop on the thruway heading towards Syracuse, Buffalo area,
yeah.
I think it's the first or second rest stop has Roy Rogers.
Well, I can't go that far. Why don't you grab some and bring it back for me, you prick?
Yeah, it shows
well,
here as of like a year ago
then
they're only
go
in like,
one direction and go in the other.
They're like
yeah.
only in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and like Mid-Atlantic states. So they're not that
that
wide.
That's not
Jeremy,
nice.
But,
I'm hungry and I want chicken.
Jesus, please, someone drop
very,
that.
Very
get that
good.
As a drop.
Well, you guys have a KFC, right?
Oh, I have one down the street.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I have
go.
A Wendy's
there.
On my front doorstep, practically.
Oh, selfish
nice,
bastard.
Nice, Joe. Nice. I love Wendy's.
Yeah, it's new,
anyway,
too. Yeah.
Here's
Sonic
here's
up by you guys?
Jeremy.
You guys have
no.
Sonic up
just
there?
Got it. We
oh,
just
you did?
Got a Sonic.
Yeah.
We
have a Chick-fil-A down here now. You guys have Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, we got some Chick-fil-A's
yeah.
up here now. I've yet to go there, though.
Well, we
they're pretty
we
good, by the way.
To, but then all the liberal snowflakes in Boston were like, we don't want you in our city.
No. Oh, stop that. Stop that.
Yeah,
that's true,
that's
though.
Pretty much what it was.
That is true.
It is.
They're closed
yeah.
on Sundays,
yeah.
you know,
because
of religious
holidays. Oh, you know, they had
some
the owner, yeah, the owner's super Christian, and he had some, like, very heavy-handed right-wing stuff to say,
yeah.
I think. And then
well, Joe,
the mayor here
like,
we don't want you.
Though.
Yeah. It's what?
I said, how do you have Chick-fil-A? They don't serve gays. But
are
so
you?
Is,
stop it! Stop it!
So my thing here is, guys, before we get too much, because we're only doing 90 minutes. It's the new show format. Only doing 90-minute shows and different things. So we do got to get into
like
at one point. But Jeremy, if you like fried chicken,
yes,
it's the last food point.
Yes.
Even Roy Rogers doesn't compare to what they got down south. When I go to my
oh,
place
I
down
bet.
Florida, well,
I
well,
bet.
Yeah, like when I go to my place, down in Florida, they have this.
We have a Popeyes
there,
here too that's kind of close to Roy Rogers.
Louisiana Fast, yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
But there's this place called Church's down south.
I love it already.
Oh, Church's is amazing, and then they have
dude, okay.
Bojangles. You ever had a Bojangles? Oh,
never heard
no.
of it.
Too.
Okay, guys.
Never heard of it.
Oh, so
guys, if you had to choose between Kentucky Fried Chicken, Chick-fil-A, or Popeyes, where would you go?
KFC in a second. I love the original recipe.
Really?
Yeah.
KFC, huh?
I used to like Roy Rogers only because they had like this cool, like they have Fixin's Bar where you could like put stuff on your
Fixin's.
Burgers.
Mm.
Their fries tasted like shit, but I like the chicken every once in a while. I still like KFC better. Plus, they have really good wedges. They have good wedges at the KFC. They're huge fries.
The last time I went to KFC, I was disappointed. Like, the chicken was not very well cooked. It was kind of slimy.
Oh, yeah, you probably went to the wrong day. Come on.
It must have been, you know, so I was kind of turned off. So I'm kind of looking for a new, you know, I'm just going to try Popeyes, I think, next time.
Yeah, Popeyes has, like, they have spicy chicken, which it's not too bad. They have Cajun fries, which are actually interesting. So
I think I'm going to pop in there. I'm going to pop into Popeyes maybe tonight for a little bite.
I can't believe we used that joke. That's terrible.
Hey.
How about those Celtics?
Jeremy, you should see what Joe just sent me on Facebook. It's actually pretty interesting. Anyway,
can't wait.
Oh no, it's incredible. So, anyways, we're jumping into it has to do with chicken and a certain person. Anyway, so we are jumping into sports here, and the Celtics showed last night that they can beat the defending champs. Is it possible that this is a title year for Boston, despite not having a true superstar? Now, I understand that this is one game. And when you get into the playoffs, it's a series, and the Cavs might be able to wear them down eventually. Sure, I understand that. But the Celtics have every game they've played with Cleveland has been like, you know, anywhere from a 1 to a 5-point game. They haven't gotten blown out by this team, and they've beaten
them. Yeah, but don't forget, they were down 15 or 16 points in that game to make up the difference in the end of the game, and they still lost them.
The problem is, look, your second question on the agenda, Chris, it gets right after it, is they don't have the superstar. LeBron is still the best player on the court. IT is really, really good. You know, Kyrie is really, really good. Those guys might cancel each other out right now. They're both playing, you know, they're both at that level, I think, right now. But LeBron is better than anybody else. And when he wants to win right now, he is so good that he will win. So I think that the Celtics can definitely take these guys to 7 games even in the East Finals. I think they're that good. The Celtics are that confident playing that well right now. But I don't see LeBron losing in a 7-game series to the Celtics. He's just, we don't have anybody who can match up to LeBron. Our best defender, Avery Bradley, you saw what he did to Kyrie Irving last night. Kyrie can still get his points. And Jay Crowder maybe bodies up with LeBron. LeBron's going to tool him, put Al on him. Forget about it. He's going to go around Al. So we can't stop LeBron, and LeBron is on a roll right now. I just don't see it happening. I think the best the Celtics can hope for this year is to take those guys to 7. Maybe something happens, injuries, calls, luck, who knows, and they can win it. But I just, as it looks right now, you said it, Chris, it's one game. It's the regular season. I mean, the Celtics beat the Warriors last year in the regular season, and they took up to overtime, I think, in the other game. So the Celtics, they really – and here's the thing about the Celtics – also, and this was a criticism from last season, is Brad Stevens has them playing all 82, is it 82 or 84, whatever it is, every game of the regular 82. Season like it's game 7 of the finals. Yeah. Like, they put it out there, they leave it, and that's something that you got to love about the team. Every game matters. They don't take a night off. But come playoff time, that can start to take its toll. So you get a team that might not be able to give all that effort. They're a little worn down, some injuries here or there. So their max intensity is the same, but a team like the Cavaliers might take a few nights off. Their max intensity is not where the Celtics' max intensity is. So you're going to see, I think, a better Cleveland team, a more intense Cleveland team in the playoffs too. So I don't think the regular season is an accurate measure of what you're going to see in the playoffs either. So that's my take.
Well,
I put you all to sleep with that. Sorry.
No, I was listening quite insightfully, actually.
Yes, but the Celtics.
I agree with Joe.
I don't know,
Chris.
I mean, I do, but I just think, first of all, the Celtics are sitting pretty. I mean, there's a chance that they're going to go to the NBA final, NBA Eastern Conference Finals, and still possibly potentially, you know, get the number one pick. But I also think that this Celtics team has a grittiness about them that the Cavaliers just don't have. I think that this team has a chemistry right now where the Cavs are panicking a bit. The Cavs are going, oh, geez, all right, we lost 12 games this season. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not completely dominant. The Cavs are trying to keep pace with the Warriors, And right now they're going, all right, we're going to bring in new pieces. We're going to bring in Bogut. We're going to bring in Deron Williams. We're going to bring in – and these guys haven't played together before. And they haven't played with LeBron James before. And LeBron is not the kind of guy – and this is going to be a bold statement. And I wish I had a better microphone for when I said this. I'm going to buy one this weekend. But this is a bold statement. But LeBron is not a guy that makes other players better. Other, you know, upper echelon caliber players that play with him make him better.
Really?
I don't know. I think they've lit a fire. I think he's lit a fire in some of their asses. I think he's done. I think he's made Kyrie Irving a better player.
LeBron knows. Yeah, but LeBron knows he needs to be surrounded by some of the best talent in the league. He looked at Miami and he said, look what I did in Miami. I had Chris Bosh, arguably the top, if not top three, you know, forward in the league. I had Dwayne Wade. You know, I had, I had other pieces down there that I could work with. Now here in Cleveland, I have a hit-or-miss, very inconsistent Kevin Love. I have a young Kyrie Irving who was injured most of last year, and is good, sure, but still hasn't really proven anything. He goes, and that's it. He goes, those are the pieces. So now he's going to bring in Deron Williams, who is, by the way, a head case and a ball hog, which is never good when you're a point guard to be a ball hog. And he's going to bring in Andrew Bogut, who, yeah, okay, that's the one thing I would say that the Cavs are missing, is a big man inside. Even last season, they didn't have any answer for Bogut inside when he played for Golden State. But Celtics have that chemistry. This team has been virtually unchanged for 3 years, and they've all played together, and they all know where each other's going to be on the floor. They're I think bottom three in the league in turnovers. I mean, this team, I just think is poised, and if there's any team in the league or any team in the East that's going to knock off Cleveland, it's Boston, hands down.
Well, listen, guys. I realize that I probably interrupt too many conversations, so I'm quiet. So, I agree with you guys to a point, but I just, you know, the East is so damn sad that I don't know. I can't even like imagine Celtics. I consider it disappointing if they don't get to play Cleveland. Like if they're the two seed and they end up playing, like, you know, Chicago in the first round, which I don't think would beat them. Then they would probably end up playing, what, like Toronto, something like that. Toronto has been giving them fits all year. Washington's probably – if Washington wins division, they got a deep lineup. But they need a guy. Like, I'm not sorry. They need a star, dude. Isaiah Thomas, as much as I like this guy, is not a star. And when you get to the playoffs, dude – if your superstar can't score because he's getting triple teamed because you have nobody else, then how the hell are you going to win a damn game? I just think that Ainge should have made a move before the deadline, but then, you know, then I listened to Almighty Bork telling me that they're going to wait 5 years before LeBron leaves, before they compete. But this team is built to win now, man. They're not built to wait 5 years from now on the run retires. I hate that, man.
Were you talking about the Celtics, Jer? Sorry, I missed it.
Yes. No.
So
listen,
okay.
They beat him last night. Big deal. Look, the last two games they played, the Celtics were down 20 points in one game. They were down 15 going into fourth quarter. They made a run. They ended up losing by 3 or 4 points. But that doesn't mean anything. And so people don't understand. Watch the whole game. The Celtics got their asses kicked in both of those games. They got hot in the fourth quarter. Don't mean shit. And that doesn't mean shit when it gets June, when the playoffs start. It's a whole new ball game, baby. Benches get thinner. Guys play log more minutes, and you see a lot more defense.
Yep.
And I'm telling you
yep.
right now, if the Celtics play somebody that plays better defense than they do, which I'm – there's not a lot, by the way, because they actually play really good team defense.
They do.
If they shut Isaiah Thomas down, that's it, dude. Al Horford's not a 25-10 guy.
I know.
So,
I wish he was.
And what are you going to go to, Jay Crowder? Oh, please. Avery Bradley's not going to score 35 points.
The Celtics absolutely need another scoring option. Now, they got lucky last night.
Well,
you saw it in the fourth quarter.
They did.
what they've been doing, the King of the Fourth, as he was known, is probably now the Prince of the Fourth, because he's not. That was pretty lame. But he's not.
I liked
he's
it.
Not doing, he's not like he's not doing what he did, because now teams are focused
on him.
You're
like, if Joe made it.
Well, take a guess why.
You saw what Atlanta did to IT in the playoffs last year. You saw what Atlanta did to IT just three games ago, whenever it was. They shut him down. And teams now have the recipe to shut down IT, particularly in the fourth quarter, okay? Because they don't have other scoring options. Now, IT was having trouble getting in the lane. He was getting blocked. He was getting knocked down. Then he started missing free throws. It was looking like, you know, here's an implosion again. The Celtics are going to blow to the fourth because IT can't pull his act together in the fourth quarter.
Well,
because
everybody has bad games, though, Joe.
It's true.
But
not important games like this to count when you see how you get exposed in an important game. That's a big difference.
That's true. But the Celtics got lucky. They hit their three-pointers. When IT started kicking it out, realizing he wasn't going to be able to get to the hoop easily at all, he kicked it out. Crowder hit a key three-pointer. Avery Bradley hit a good three-pointer.
Joe, I have one question, by the way. I have one question. Can somebody tell me why in the hell Amir Johnson starts every game?
You know what? I don't know.
I'm sorry, but he's the most useless player I've ever
seen.
For the money they gave him, which I'm still flabbergasted by, I can't believe this guy is playing starters.
He is absolutely a ghost on the court. He is a ghost.
He had 5 points and 2 boards last night. What the hell good is that?
I think they're starting him because of the money that they're paying him, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think so. I think they can't stomach having a $12 million or $11 million man on the bench.
Yeah.
Which is horrible, but I agree. He's terrible. But I wish Big Al was – now, you get a guy, you pay him what we're paying him, you think he would be a good scoring option alternative to IT, right?
Yeah.
He's not.
He had 9 points last night.
He only took six shots.
He wasn't aggressive. He's not the aggressive kind of guy that Thomas is. Plus, I don't think he can – he's not that good a shooter, I think we people forget. This guy can make a 10-20-footer. He's okay with threes, but he has no low post moves.
Why not? Why does a guy that size?
I don't understand.
Most moves in this day and age, I can't stand it.
He never had him in Florida. I remember when he played in Florida, he never had him. He played like 2 years of Florida and he got drafted.
He's been a finesse big guy since day one. He's not going to change. Why can't he be a fourth quarter scoring option? I don't understand.
I don't think he wants it.
Well, Joe,
that's a problem.
Joe, you watched the game last night, right?
Listen, let me tell you something, guys. There's some guys that want the ball when it counts. Thomas is one, which I'm happy about. But nobody else wants it. Avery Bradley can't shoot. Thomas is the only one that can shoot, apparently. Horford, he has nothing. What?
Marcus Smart's playing really well.
Marcus Smart isn't playing enough. He played a lot of minutes last night, but – if they want to win, they got to start him. They got to start him, Bradley, and Thomas, man. Get Amir Johnson the hell out of there. Horford can play center, dude.
They're the only team in the league. They're the only team in the league that has the number 90 and a number 99.
Right?
So,
whoopee. Who cares?
But guys, did you watch the game, Jeremy?
Yeah, I watched last night. Which one?
Did you see the Celtic game? Celtic-Cavs last night.
Yeah, I watched.
The Terry Rozier drive, when Rozier thought he got fouled.
I didn't see that part, but I heard about it.
Now, the NBA...
He's not going to get that call.
He's not going to get that call, but the NBA has been so inconsistent with calling. Rozier came in, he got a hook.
I agree with you, actually. The referee's been lousy this year.
Yeah, the guy basically pulled him. He almost did a 180 and hit the ground. And if that was LeBron James and you breathe on him, he's going to get the foul call. So that's why
it's because he's not a superstar,
side.
Chris. Chris, all the superstars get the call. Scrub players don't get nothing.
But then they call that. Oh, I know. But I'm saying that they don't call that. And then down on the other side, they call Kelly Olynyk for like a little touch foul.
Oh, yeah.
And Olynyk flips out. And Olynyk flips out. And then it became. And I'm just.
I don't blame him, do you?
You know, no, but it's like if you're gonna let them play that physical. Don't call a bump foul on the other end. You know,
the NBA is too one-dimensional with the referees. It's a superstars league now, Chris. Everybody, all the superstars get the call. Curry gets the call. Klay Thompson, Durant, LeBron. Nobody else is going to get the call. So if you haven't been in the league like more than 5 minutes and you're a superstar, you don't get, you're not going to get the damn call. They don't care.
Yeah, I just wish it was better refereeing. Refereeing sucks in the NFL, too. Ugh.
Well, no, so listen, I think the referee in the NBA is much better than the NFL, by the way. NFL referees are horrible.
You think so?
Oh, how many blown calls do the NFL have? Listen, I know it's – all right, I don't want to get a tangent about this. I know they can't see every play, but Jesus Christ, I don't know how many holding calls I've seen this year that were – well, pretty much holdings on every call, but I just – some of the pass interference calls this year were boggled my mind. Oh, my God. All right, that's all I'm going to say.
Let me ask you this one. That pass interference call against the Giants in the Ravens game.
Listen, if they had lost because of that, I would have probably complained more. But since they won the game, I don't care. But,
true.
Listen, I explain this to everybody who does understand me. If you're a defender, all you have to do is turn your goddamn head around and look for the ball. They're not going to call pass interference. How many times have I explained this to people? That's a golden rule. If your head is not turned to look for the ball, you're not making effort to go after it, they're not going to call it. They're gonna call you every time if you don't see it.
True. I'm with it. I hear it, but it's just.
No,
I don't know.
You can't play. No, but still. You can't play defense anymore in the NFL. It's like every time you go down the field, there's always a goddamn flag because they can't swallow the whistle, for Christ's sake. It's like defense is like terrible now. You can't get away with nothing. You can't make any plays. You can't pop anybody. I mean, I understand, getting concussion and stuff like that. But what the hell is the point of playing football if you don't get hurt? Jesus Christ.
At least not if you don't get hurt, but if you don't have the possibility of perhaps getting hurt.
Yeah,
because right now, the only reason people get hurt now is because you're not allowed to tackle the way that you've been taught to tackle.
You got that right.
Unorthodox way, and yeah.
Let me tell you something. You ever play football?
I have, yes.
Okay. Well, what you're taught to tackle, Tony, right? You're taught to line up, grab them, not above the shoulders, right? Wrap your arms around his waist, right? I don't understand. I don't know anybody can't do that nowadays. I don't know who's taught these kids growing up at high school and college. It ain't that freaking hard to do. I can still see my coach going, wrap your arms. Like, I can see that in my brain. I could see, wrap your arms. Like, it's unbelievable.
All right. I didn't play as much defense as I did offense. But, yes, I had coaches say that as well. And, I just want refereeing to be, consistent.
More consistent?
We'll put it this way. The Patriots have that slogan, do your job.
Yeah.
I want.
We're going to start that again?
But the players are expected to, quote unquote, do their job. But the referees haven't been able to do that in the past couple of years. And it's just like. Is it really that – I understand it's a tough job to be a ref, sure. But the absolute egregious errors that they make on a consistent basis, I mean, these refs are wrong more than they're right. I mean, you watch some of the calls that they make, and I understand that they're saying, okay, well, there's holding on every play and they can't call them all. I understand that. But now I'm going to use my Cowboys as an example, just as an example.
Here we go.
But that play in the huddle – Where they called the 15-yard penalty against Bryce Butler for going into the huddle and leaving. Dak wasn't even in the huddle at the time. That was a play I've never heard of. Ended up, I think, subsequently costing us the game, or at least costing us a score on that drive.
Oh, come on. That didn't cost you the game. Give me a break.
We would have scored on that drive. We wouldn't have had to deal with what we dealt with in the fourth quarter.
Please.
I just feel like those kind of weird officiating plays have been happening more and more. And, like I said, that old cliche, there's holding on every play and they can't call them all. Sure. But
that's true.
Why do you gotta why do you got to call the big ones all the time? Like it just, it seems to me like the refs, like am I off base here? Does it seem to me like the refs are wrong more than they're right? And that,
well,
that's a problem.
Are you talking about the holding calls or just in general?
Everything. The referees are basically useless.
Oh, I'll tell you. The holding calls, you listen, I'm sorry. There's holding in every damn play. It's not a secret. But it's just, if it's not blatant, they ain't going to call it. But if you're tackling the guy above the shoulder pads, you're going to get nailed for that. I don't know. That's why I tell everybody, if you're going to block, never block anybody above the shoulder pads, because you're going to get called for that. You're going to get called for holding every time. No, I just don't like, you know, there's too many plays where you have to, I don't like when they have to review so many plays because it defeats the whole purpose of having a freaking referee. And what the hell's the point? You know, listen, the referees are human. I understand that. But, you know, they can't be – if we're going to do this, what are you going to have? You're going to have 40 more referees. They can't be in the field every 5 seconds. I don't know how they can – I don't know how you can fix that.
Well, the refs can well, that's true. Yeah, I suppose. But
listen, I think they get more calls wrong. You really think they get more wrong calls than right?
No, but I think that they
– it's a coin flip, maybe.
They call more impactful wrong calls more often than they do impactful.
Yes, I'll give you that. That's you're definitely right. Yes.
So, you know, it seems like a referee call – will impact the game, but it's
a bad
at
crucial
ball
moments.
Or,
it's like a killer.
Yeah, sure, it's a crucial moment, but 9 times out of 10, that call is very, very questionable.
You shake your head.
You're calling it in that moment. Yeah, it's not one
the worst
of those ones where you
the worst is
go,
like when you're going
go,
for
oh
the
God,
game driving
flag.
Touch. Right? Yeah. Oh yeah. The worst when you go for a game driving touchdown, you think you scored, and there's always a flag comes out for holding or something like that. I hate that.
Well, true. But what I'm saying is you know, I would be okay, honestly, you know, from a fan standpoint, sure, I'd be pissed. But from a you know, analyst and journalist standpoint, if I saw that flag come out, they show you the replay, and then I was like,
I'd go crazy.
But I was like, oh, he clearly held him. Okay, you know what? They got it right. You know, my guy screwed up. That sucks, but that's a good call. But when you're going in that situation and the flag comes down and they show you the replay and even the commentators are like, oh, I don't know about that one. You're like, whoa, my God, what are you doing? You know, it's like it rips your heart out. So it's one of those things where it's like, I think if it's a big moment like that in a game and it's questionable and you have any doubts, put the flag away. You know, unless it is completely egregious and completely
right.
– you know, needs to be called, don't call it because.
Well,
I
got
to
tell you, Chris, I think part of that for the referees is ego. Like umpires, umpires don't like to get shown up in baseball because they think they're, which is ridiculous, because umpires are stupid, if you ask me. I don't care if they hear me. Referees need to show they're still part of the game. I'm telling you, you know, they probably take a lot of abuse on the field, but I think they do sometimes to show that they're still there, which. I think it's a lot of shit, but what are you going to do?
Of course they're still there. I mean, there's some overweight guy with a mask on standing behind the batter. I mean, of course they're still there. You know?
That's terrible.
That's more terrible. Yeah, well, that's true, though. But there's more – I would say, honestly, the most consistent refereeing takes place in baseball. But recently,
how so?
Well, recently I started seeing the strike zones being like,
oh, please.
Really,
what strike zone?
Really?
Oh, please.
Yeah, really, really undefined. But
the problem is, Chris,
that, you know,
the problem is with that, you have too many umpires that don't have the same set strike zone. They're all set in their ways. You're never going to fix that.
Yeah.
Forget it.
No, that's true. But I always thought that refereeing in baseball was so good because, you know, tie goes to the runner. So even if he calls him out, they've got the replay. They show that he was blah, blah, blah. But I just thought that in a split-second moment that, you know, umpires are able to tell from a throw from third to first, you know, if his foot was down in time. I mean, that takes place in a split second. And when you go back and watch the replay, 9 times out of 10, maybe even 10 out of 10 on that kind of play, they're right. They're correct.
Absolutely right.
And
there's only rarities when they miss it bad. Like, I remember a couple years ago when
like
the kid
Galarraga.
Yeah, I was just saying the same thing. Oh, yeah. I mean, but they're human. Like, I mean, if you can't, if you're not looking down, you know, but that's brutal, though. Brutal.
No, it ruined a perfect game. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the worst.
But, you know, but it's one of those things where I just think the umping, at least the field umps, are consistent a lot in baseball.
I agree.
You know,
I think being a home plate umpire, they have massive egos, dude. I'm telling you. I remember when I was a kid, Roger Clemens got thrown out of a game in the playoffs against Oakland because he was mouthing off to an umpire, which I still to this day think was a lot of shit. I think that was ridiculous. Terry Cooney was the umpire who has a short fuse to begin with, which people don't forget, you know. But I've looked at that for like 27 years. Yeah. And he was saying stuff, but he didn't say anything that was so egregious that Cooney couldn't handle it. I was appalled by that. They weren't going to win the game anyway because they sucked. But that was brutal. That
was
the worst I've ever seen.
Was that the game where Clemens was all jacked up and had the eye black under his eyes?
Yes, you remember that? It was 1990.
Oh, yeah.
It was Game 4 in Oakland. You know,
Stewart pitching on the other side, maybe.
Yeah, I think he was mad because at himself. Because he was throwing a lot of pitches, he was questioning the strike zone, which you can do that. I mean, you know, you gotta be. It's umpire's discretion. But Terry Cooney was a jackass. He was an ego guy. I mean, it was like the second inning. He threw him out of the game. Oh, come on, that's terrible.
Yeah, Clemens had a history of getting a little bit over amped for big games like that.
Who wouldn't? Yeah.
Well, and then throwing the bat at Piazza. Remember that? Yeah.
He
gets a little bit jacked to these things and tends to act out a little crazy. But that was
I would have think he would have, in a moment like that, I thought he would have got the benefit of the doubt because of who he was at the time. But, you know, I guess Cooney just, he said something was so bad, which I don't buy because I've seen the highlights of that, and I don't think he said anything that was that bad. The guy just had a short fuse, man.
Oh, it was bullshit, well, Jeremy. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
Joe,
they wouldn't have won the game anyway, I wouldn't have thought, because they got swept anyway, but it could have been a hell. I mean, they might have won one more game, but the hell with it.
Have you guys ever wondered when managers come out and have a quote-unquote word with the umpire, and they come out and sometimes they get thrown out of the game. Do you ever wonder exactly what it is that they say?
Yeah, I would love to hear that. I'd love to hear that.
That's mic'd up. I'd love to have managers mic'd up when they get out there.
Yeah, you're going to have the sensors will be on their ass for that, I'll tell you that.
Right.
I can imagine what's going through their heads when they come out there. I think it'd be great.
Because, I mean, they do mic'd up in the NFL. Why don't they do mic'd up for freaking, you know,
the Super Bowl
manager? No, managers for baseball.
I think managers have a short fuse, my friend. Like they can go off very easily. I don't think that would ever work.
I've seen Terry Francona burst out of his blood vessel.
Yes,
sometimes.
Lou Piniella. I tell you, when I was a kid, Earl Weaver was the worst. When I was a little kid. Earl Weaver used to complain every 5 seconds. He must have got thrown out like 100 games a year, man. He was so bad.
He said he was the model for how to get out there and really get after an umpire, Earl Weaver.
Right. He was a damn good manager, boy. He had a shorter fuse than a battery, I think. Something like that.
He was a classic.
I would love to see him manage today. He'd be that'd be great.
I want Jim Leland to manage the goddamn Red Sox. Speaking of old time managers,
where'd that come
old-timer.
From? Really?
I didn't just invent that. It's been rumored or talked about. I saw something on the internet, you know, maybe just a tweet by somebody, but who knows?
Yeah, because that means shit.
Here's the connection. Dombrowski in Detroit had Leland. Dombrowski, I think, in Florida had Leland. I might be making that up.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
The 97 on the World Series.
Uh-huh. So, if they start to see, you know, we know Farrell's on the hot seat. We know he is.
You bet he is.
Now that he has big old Chris Sale, if if the team starts off, you know, shitty in the first month and a half, I wouldn't be surprised if Farrell gets gone. Dombrowski didn't, I wish I had my computer. I could look it up. But
isn't Leland, does he have like a cushy front office job now with baseball? You think he'd really come out for that? He's not, he's not a spring chicken, dude. He's got to be almost in his, almost 80.
Oh, yeah. He's not a kid. Yeah, he's old. No doubt. Good question.
Joe, what are you going to say next? You want your commentary play-by-play guy replaced by Vin Scully? I mean, come on.
No, I want Sean McDonough and Bob Montgomery back, and then I'd be happy.
I want to unfreeze Ted Williams and put him in the lineup. You know, those kind of things.
Oh, Jesus.
That's disturbing.
It's funny. Jesus. We were talking about, did they cut his head off? I think his head is like in some museum. Anyway,
That's enough.
I think they did, though. So anyway,
I just farted off the air.
Beautiful, thank you. We were just talking about referees and officiating. I just got put across my desk here at ESPN. NBA will increase officiating staff by 25% over the next 3 seasons, and they look to virtual reality train the referees.
What? The hell is that going to do? We're going to have four refs instead of three?
I think so, yeah.
We're going to put them above the scoreboard?
I think so, yeah.
I don't like it.
So they're going to increase the number of refs by 25%. All right. I mean, if it means more better refereeing, that's one of the biggest things wrong with the NBA is the refereeing, bro. It's a joke.
Yeah.
Can we admit that? It's just a long-running joke. I mean,
we were talking about this before. We said that baseball has the best, like, officiers, even though the umpires drive me nuts.
You know what? I think you're right. It is probably the
best.
Because
the NFL is a train wreck, and the NBA is worse.
NHL's
good.
Well, I was saying I was saying the most consistent, at least in my opinion, is MLB. I understand that the strike zones for every ref are a little inconsistent.
Yeah, they're different for everyone.
When it comes to a throw, like you see a guy where, you know, they get a ground ball, they make the play at third, he throws it to, you know, he throws it to first. If you watch the replay, I'd say 9 times out of 10, maybe even 10 out of 10, they're correct whether he saved or not.
And that's happening in a split second. That's hard to call. It happens so quickly. You can't even go by, like, sight. You got to go by sound, I think. Sometimes they do it. Like, if they hear that, I don't know. But it's a split-second thing. I've always admired how they get those
I think they always
right.
look at the feet when they hit the bag, and you can hear the sound. I think that's what they go by,
they match up the foot hitting the – they watch the foot hit the bag, and they hear the ball pop into the glove. I think they time those two things. Either way, it's hard. And I agree with you, Chris. I actually admire how they get those calls right. I've always been like, wow, how did they get that right? It's so quick. So, your overall premise, Chris, that the MLB has the most consistent umpiring, refereeing, whatever you want to call it, I agree. With the NHL, a close second. The only thing wrong with the NHL is they have this – I don't want to go down this rabbit hole unless you guys want to, but
– nobody cares, Joe. Sorry.
The whole replay thing about the offsides, taking back goals. I can't – stand
Ooh,
it, bro.
Yeah.
It is horrible.
Yeah.
The Bruins have been bitten hard by it, too. Like, if a goal gets scored and it was even close, if a goal gets scored and it's even close, the opposing coach will just call for a replay. And the penalty for losing it, I think, is the same. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's the same in the NFL. You lose a timeout, but timeouts in hockey are like, who cares? You barely ever, you know, I mean, it's no big deal. So they just throw, anyone, though, if it's close at the line and a goal got scored, check it. And half the time, I mean, like, that's another one. That's another really tough call to make, similar to the call at first base in baseball. Watching the puck and the skates go over that blue line, that is really tough to time in real time. And you watch it on replay, and they probably get it wrong more than half the time. I don't know, you know, but I've seen so many goals get taken back by it. I think it's a terrible, terrible – it slows down play, takes away the excitement of the game. Come on, let them play. We don't need to replay the offsides crap. Or at least it shouldn't – there should be a different way to approach it. You shouldn't lose the goal or – I don't know, something. If a goal gets scored, I haven't figured it out, but I hate it.
Boring.
Yeah, well. Hockey. It's hockey season, fellas.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Check it out.
So Connecticut, you agree with me playing baseball?
Whoopee.
Oh, you agree with that?
What?
Do Do you agree with replay in baseball?
Replay in baseball? No, I don't really agree with it. No. No, I don't.
Okay.
That's
because
it.
They have it now.
Well, yeah, thanks. At least the way it's implemented, yeah. I don't like it. Because I think it slows down the game. But I don't think replay is ever going to go away. It, you know, it's technology. They're going to embrace it. But I think
neither will Christian Laettner. Oh.
It took this long. It took this long. I'm telling you, you're getting better.
I can't help it. I'm sorry. I love you.
It's all right, bloomers. Yeah, you know what bloomers are? They're those big underwears that big heavy people wear. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, your mom wears them every night when she's next to me.
Oh
yeah.
Oh,
we're going. Yeah.
Oh,
ready.
We're going
there.
So is Jeremy, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to hell.
Yeah, you are, and I'll see you there.
Yeah, you're damn right.
But yeah, I just think that they're all kind of new to this replay thing, so they're all figuring out how to implement it correctly. 10 years from now, I think it'll still be there, but it'll be
it's gonna take a couple of years
process.
Before they kind of finally get
yeah.
it you know, up
work
and ready
things, stuff like that. Yeah, there'll be much faster ways to do it, like the way the NHL does. Oh, sorry, did they say NHL? I'm sorry, I won't talk about hockey.
No, it's fine. I was just busting your balls.
They have these tiny little iPads that they're like the size of a phone practically. They're like the smallest iPad you can get, you know, and they have to watch a replay on that on the ice. Like, really? They're watching
that's all they get?
The size of their palm?
Jesus. NFL gets a giant booth, for Christ's sake.
I know, right? Give them they can see the replay better up on the screen. But then
Major League Baseball, they get like a little monitor probably about half the size of what everybody else has. And I'm not sure because I think – with the baseball umpires, they're not just seeing the collect people. There's actually somebody that sits in New York and watches these games and does that too. So I don't know how they're going to fix that. Like if the umpires don't agree with that and they see something different, I don't know how they fix that. So that could be something.
It sure could be.
You're right.
It could be. Mohamed Sanu comes up with another excuse for,
oh, Jesus. What do you say now? Nobody can spell my name correctly?
Well, do you guys remember the first couple of things that he said?
No, I don't pay attention to losers.
I remember him mouthing off how we're going to run up 40 on them, something like that.
He almost did.
I'm the greatest, something like that. He was boasting a lot early in the game. That's all I remember.
Mohamed Sanu. Well, apparently, according to sources here, number 12 for the Atlanta Falcons, 12, I guess is what you can call him, instead of TB12.
Nice one.
Says here that there's this is what the article says on 12up.com. It says there's no shame in losing to the Patriots, but Mohamed Sanu is going to keep making up excuses anyway. Scrolls down. Of course, there are a dozen reasons why the Falcons blew a huge lead in the Super Bowl. The team refused to run the ball in the second half. They got worn down by New England's offense, and the protection started to fall apart on Matt Ryan late in the game. But Sanu is going to blame Lady Gaga, though. Now, let me scroll down. Let me scroll down more. This fucking article is being a pain. My internet's being a pain right now because we have the same wind you have out there, Joe, and our wind is being stupid. So,
yeah.
Let me scroll down. Why does he blame Gaga? Here it is. Okay. It says, and I quote, he essentially said that waiting such a long halftime to go through killed the momentum for the Falcons, as if a long halftime show was something that only Atlanta had to deal with in Super Bowl history, guys. He says,
yeah, only Atlanta.
He goes, look back at the Ravens in Super Bowl XLVII, I don't know Roman numerals or whatever the hell that means. Baltimore jumped out to a 21-6 lead at the half. They had to sit through a long halftime show, then a blackout. That killed the momentum, allowing the 49ers to come back. Now, again, these are his excuses. Still, the Ravens overcame that and went on to win the game 34-31. Baltimore never trailed in that game, but neither did Atlanta until the last second of the game. The difference is that the Ravens were gritty enough to hang on and keep scoring, while Atlanta wasn't. So he says basically, oh, well, we had to sit through a, you know, normally our halftime is 10 or 12 minutes. We had to sit through a 22-minute halftime I think that killed our momentum. Now, I guess that brings up the question to me, from my, I guess, getting my wheels churning.
Because who the hell cares?
Does the length of the halftime show affect the game at all, guys?
That's a bunch of bullshit. That's
Buffett.
Bullshit.
That's
bullshit.
Garbage. Garbage.
Where'd it go? An extra 10 minutes. 10 minutes to win. Give me a break.
I'm looking at my trash barrel. What's in there?
Well, because Muhammad Sanu says.
There you are, buddy.
Joe, bravo.
He tweeted. He says that the lengthy halftime show. When asked about it. He says that it definitely, quote unquote, affected Chelsea.
All this facades, all this fake hard that he play out on the field, that ain't terrific. I checked his background. He's a suburbs kid from Pittsburgh.
I know you talked about it, Adam. What,
garbage.
What did that start with for you, Terrell?
Garbage.
There you go, right there, bro.
Oh,
there you go.
Get him out of there. You see him in there?
Oh, right there.
You better find him somebody to play with.
Is him saying basically he could
garbage
against you?
Garbage.
All right, aside from Terrell, how big is it for you?
Garbage.
Garbage.
Happy we won.
All right, cool.
Terrell Pryor, garbage.
For the record, I believe that Lady Gaga had more catches than Sanu did in the game. So I'm going to say.
Gentlemen, I'll be right back.
All right.
Okay, you have fun.
Goodbye.
Now, here's another thing, though, Jeremy. The thing about Terrell Pryor, who we just heard was quote-unquote garbage, he might have a chance to be the highest-paid receiver in the league next year.
What? How so?
Browns might franchise tag him. He might be making upwards of $20 million next year.
Oh, come on. He's not got that kind of money. I wouldn't franchise him. What for?
I don't know, but there's rumors out there that they might.
That's terrible. That's
they
terrible.
They might franchise him, yeah.
Why? What? Really?
I don't know.
If I was him, I'd say the hell with that.
What I read this morning.
I'd go after Alshon Jeffrey for this idiot. Christ.
I like Alshon. I actually like Alshon Jeffrey a lot.
I know. I'm surprised the Bears didn't franchise him. I guess we might be missing something here.
Well, okay. The Titans and Browns have both said that they are going to move up. That they're willing to get rid of their picks in the first round. Who do you see moving up to the fifth or even the first spot here? Like,
well, I think
the Bears
need to make a move.
Patriots.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, but what can the Bears give away?
No,
I mean,
I know.
Bears are actively shopping. I mean, the Bears are actively shopping Jay Cutler.
Nobody's going to take him.
Jay Cutler? Yeah.
No.
So
I don't know who they're thinking of. Listen, this is one of the deepest drafts in a long time. I don't know if anybody has the picks to move up. I mean, Cleveland has, you know, 1-14,
yeah.
But I mean, unless they're blown away by an offer of like a superstar for like the 14th or first pick, they're not going to do nothing. Who's going to move up?
Yeah.
Nobody has the picks for that. I don't see it.
Would you? True, I guess. Would you take a guy like okay, if you're a quarterback, like let's say Jeremy, you're the, you know, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns. You're so desperate for a quarterback at this. I know that sounds like a terrible proposition. I think I'd rather have AIDS, but still,
yeah,
you look at that.
That's horrible,
man. And you say, yeah, but it's probably true. So you look at it, you say, okay, we need a quarterback. RG3, we know what he's about. He can't stay healthy. Okay. Who was the guy they had last year? Their rookie guy there. Why am I blanking out? I just had his name in my head.
Johnny Manziel.
But anyway, no, not Manziel. Shoot. Why am I blanking out on this? Well, anyway.
I don't remember either. Who cares?
Yeah, they had a rookie who had played pretty well. And he, you know, I think that if you're the Browns and they're coming up to give you a quarterback, the Bears are coming to give you Cody Kessler, that's his name, give you a quarterback. Why? And they say, oh, Jay Cutler is available. We will give you a veteran starting quarterback in Jay Cutler for the number one pick. And you're desperate for a quarterback at this point. who's a veteran, who's a winner, who at least has been around the league. Are you telling me you don't do it?
No, I wouldn't.
Excuse me.
No, here's why. Listen, this pick this year, number one pick, is a crapshoot because Cleveland has so many pressing needs that quarterback.
They need everything. They need absolutely everything.
So, and to be honest with you, this quarterback class is a joke this year. It's one of the worst I can remember, other than Watson and Trubisky there and maybe DeShone Kizer. That's it. There's no first-round picks here. If I was a general manager, first of all, I would never take Jay Cutler. He's a goddamn train wreck.
On that. You know who they're saying is going to be a first-round pick is this Pat Mahomes from Texas Tech.
I saw that. Oh, Mahomes is that's a run-and-gun offense they run in Texas Tech where they score 60 points a game.
It's an spread option offense,
It doesn't work in the NFL. The injury is that option horse shit that too many coaches used to run, like a Navy runs that. Holy Christ. Listen, if I was the Browns GM, I would trade this pick.
For who, though?
Yeah.
For what?
As I'm saying, I would trade this maybe to the Titans for the fifth pick and get their first-round pick next year when they have more pressing needs. Listen, what are you going to take first if you're Cleveland? You're going to take Deshaun Watson, who you don't know what's going to be in the NFL. You're going to take Myles Garrett. I mean, they have so many pressing needs this year that I can't imagine them wasting a pick on a quarterback this high when you have no idea what the
– What are their other pressing needs?
Oh, defensive end, linebacker, wide receiver, tackle. I'm saying, like, if you're going to go for a quarterback in the first – when you take the first pick in the draft – you better damn know for sure that this quarterback is going to be the quarterback you want. Listen, I've seen all these quarterbacks play in college. I've seen Watson play, Trubisky, DeShone Kizer. I've seen these guys. I'll be honest with you. I don't think any of them were the number one pick. None of Watson is a born leader, but I'm not sure what his skill is going to atone to in the NFL.
Well, I don't want
Trubisky's
Watson
got a big arm,
Watson
but what the hell does that mean? What's that?
You heard what Watson said, right?
Yeah. No. He doesn't want to play for Cleveland.
No,
I didn't hear that.
But you heard what he said about he says he comes out and he says, Jerry, he goes, go get the number one pick. Just like Myles Garrett said. He goes, trade Romo and Prescott and draft me. You won't be sorry. I'll be better than both of them.
He said that?
He just insulted two NFL players, one a respected veteran.
Yes.
I mean, I wouldn't draft him because he said that.
No.
My thing is that, I understand. I like a little confidence, a little swagger with my QB.
That's over the top.
That's a bit much.
Yeah, exactly.
That's almost like Myles Garrett. Well, that's like Myles Garrett, though, too. Myles Garrett said, go trade Romo, get the number one pick, and grab me.
Myles Garrett can't throw a football, please. Oh, please.
No, Myles Garrett is the defensive end, and that's really definitely what we need right now.
Yeah,
but
they need everything, dude. You can't draft 11 positions in one pick. Forget it.
Oh, no, no.
Well,
and we need defense. That's what Dallas needs. Defense.
Cleveland needs to stop drafting quarterbacks, okay, and start drafting linemen. They need to – One of the better things that they did was to sign Jamie Collins. They need players who aren't quarterbacks, who aren't these – or wide receivers, or that aren't glamour positions. They need to build their team. Their team is terrible, and it starts with the line. They need to build an offensive line first and then get your quarterback. Build a defensive line first, then get your – you know what I mean? Like, they need to build their foundation first.
I think this is a bad year, Joe, for a quarterback for them. They're just not really a good class.
Then this is the perfect time. They should absolutely trade down and beef up their second-round pick, or what do you say, next year's first-round pick, whatever it is, but they need to get more picks
rather than get a guy number one. They have the 14th pick. So I'm telling you, if they want to go take Watson then or Trubisky at 14, you don't have to take him at number one.
Joe, do you appreciate loyalty, though, if you're a fan of a team? Do you appreciate loyalty to a team through tough times?
Hang on. I have to answer that in a minute. Keep talking, guys.
Jeremy,
not a problem here on my
end. What about you?
I've been through it, dude. I've been through it every year.
Do you feel good? Because my problem is, Tony Romo has a choice. He can sit back behind Dak and mentor him and coach him for one more year and then retire. He can retire now, or he can go to another team and play. And that's
right.
sort of what I'm dealing with. And this is really the first time that I'm dealing with any of this as a Cowboy fan, at least in my lifetime. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. Emmitt Smith as well on the Cardinals, but that was a decision that had, you know, his contract had run out. But my thing here is Joe Thomas. We talk about the Browns and how they're terrible, how they need linemen. Joe Thomas
is
a Hall
is great.
Of Fame tackle guy.
Oh, yeah, you
he's
bet
a
he
Hall
is.
Hall of Fame tackle. And his contract is coming up, and he's choosing to stay in Cleveland. And that's
God bless him for that.
Well, I know, but it's like, dude, you could go any team in the league, especially a team with offensive line problems, would take you in the snap of a finger. You're gonna go to Canton, dude. Okay, you're a lineman who has been a staple in the East on the worst team in the history of the league, and you know, here it is. So, my question is, if you're a Browns fan, okay, or if the Giants were as bad
Thank you.
As the Browns
Thank
are.
You. Appreciate that.
And you had a guy, so I'm just asking if they were, and you had a guy like Thomas, Hall of Fame tackle, whatever.
I do.
And
Victor Cruz.
Okay. Well, he left too. And,
yep.
and you had an opportunity to go somewhere else and play. Would you be like, hey, listen, I want the best for him. Our team's not going anywhere right now. He needs to go, you know, I want him to go win a Super Bowl with somebody else because – we're not going to help. You know, we're not going to be able to help him. Or
well,
do you say, you know what? I'm happy that he's loyal and he's fighting through the bad times with us. I mean, what's your view on that?
Well, listen, I'm all for. Listen, I like Victor Cruz, but his production and the money is one of the reasons why he's going to. You know, he got cut. If he goes to another team and makes it, I'm happy for the guy. I want him to succeed, but I'm not going to be happy if he wins a Super Bowl and it's not for the Giants. That just would piss me off as a fan. I would hate
that. Well, they're saying he might go to Carolina.
Yeah, I read that. They can have him. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Now, here's my thing about teams leaving. Doesn't it always seem like, or maybe it's just me and the Cowboys, because maybe this just happens to Dallas.
Probably just
other
you.
Fans don't have to, yeah, probably. Other fans probably don't have to deal with this, but doesn't it seem like every time you let a guy go, a la DeMarcus Ware, a la, you know, Terrence Newman, a la, I mean, not necessarily Newman, he's been terrible, but DeMarcus Ware, I guess, is the biggest example here for Dallas, but you let a guy go who was good for you but not what he could have been, or possibly even, I'll go as far as to say, seemed like a bust for your team. Then you play against him on another team and he tears you up.
In baseball, like, I have none. The Giants really haven't
seen
anybody
I've
like.
Seen it in football, but
I've seen it in football. Yeah,
I'm trying to think of as my team. I can't think of anybody that's joined another team that was like. There was. I can't think of anybody from the Giants that went. I mean, Danny Cannell went to Denver.
Back in the day when Lawyer Malloy got cut, and then they had their first game against the Bills, where he went to play. Back in 2003 from the Patriots. Then the Bills came out and they shut us out 31-0. That was the year we went on and won the Super Bowl. But Lawyer Malloy had a big game, and that's it. I mean,
Joe, you heard about that player that died, right?
Who?
A couple weeks ago, a Patriots player died. He was like 32 years old or 35 years old.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah, that was a shame.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny? Now you're a Patriots guy. If I name you, do you think you know the Patriots history well enough? Where if I name you a pretty obscure name or pretty obscure reference to Patriots recent Patriots history, you can be like, oh yeah, I know that guy.
Probably, I can tell you. I took a quiz a couple weeks ago. It was really hard questions for are you a true Patriot fan type quiz, and I did pretty well. I didn't ace it, but I did pretty well. So fire away.
Well, this isn't going to be as hard.
I want to play too. Damn it.
Sorry, Jeremy, one at a time. So, this isn't going to be as hard as one of the ones on that quiz. In fact, I guarantee it. The only reason I'm bringing it up is because my parents, obviously, are Syracuse alumni, and we were at some alumni events a couple weeks ago when we met this guy, and he was a former Patriot. But probably the coolest name I think I've heard in the NFL in quite some time, Tabucky Jones. You guys remember Tabucky?
Oh, hell yeah, Tabucky. He was a Syracuse guy?
Yeah.
He's from Connecticut. I know who he is.
Tabucky Jones.
He's from Connecticut, but he went to Syracuse.
He played New Britain High School.
Yep.
You know what was funny about Tabucky? Is he was like a first-round draft pick or something like that.
His name, yeah.
And he had all he had like a great combine. He was big, strong, fast, could leap out of the gym. He was like a athletic marvel, but he couldn't play.
Yeah.
He really like couldn't play. And it was one of those, it was before Belichick got here. I think Pete Carroll was the coach then, and
who's
the guy? Bobby Greer was in charge of personnel. This was between Parcells and Belichick when Pete Carroll was the coach in the late 90s. Bledsoe was still here. And Bobby Greer, he made these terrible picks, but they were picks also driven by the owner, Bob Kraft. It was before the Patriots, before Belichick got here, it was still a mess. Like, Kraft was telling people who to pick. Kraft actually had a stopwatch and was timing to Bucky Jones, and he loved his 40 time or some garbage like that. He told the press that, and I think he wanted him drafted because of that. That's where Robert Kraft was a little bit too involved, and he learned his lesson. And Bucky Jones, he was a bust.
So what you're saying is that to Bucky Jones, not to Bucky Jones, what you're saying is that Robert Kraft was being Jerry Jones in a way.
Pretty much, exactly. And he learned that doesn't work too well.
Now,
what kind of game? This game sucks.
It's not a game. I just asked him if he remembered.
Oh, I don't like it. I don't like
it. Like, I thought we were playing a game.
I know. I'm very disappointed. Are there any prizes?
I met the guy the other day, and I thought about it. That's all it was.
Oh, you met Tabucky?
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, that's what
I was happy
for you. There was an alumni event at Syracuse, and he happened to be at it. And, you know, when somebody's named Tabucky, you know. Okay. So,
Yeah. Is he a nice guy? You talked to him?
Yeah, briefly.
Yeah. He's a big dude, huh? Still a big guy? Great athlete.
Yeah,
couldn't play ball.
He's pretty big. I mean, yes.
He's about as talented as Malachi Richardson, so suck it.
I love Malachi, dude. Malachi was a man.
You're going to have him.
If I remember correctly, Kraft wanted to draft him as a shutdown corner. That was like Kraft had his term. We need a shutdown corner, some nonsense. And this guy was way too big and too not limber enough to be a cornerback.
Tabucky Jones, 6'2", 220. Okay.
That's too big to be a
cornerback. Out of New Britain, Connecticut. He's 42 years old. Plays safety.
Yeah.
He was drafted in 1998 out of Syracuse. Round one, pick 22. Drafted by the New England Patriots. Played on the Patriots from 1998 to 2002. After the 2002 season, was cut by the Patriots. Played for the New Orleans Saints for 2003-2004. And then played for the Miami Dolphins in 2005 before making his reunion with the New England Patriots in 06, but he was a practice squad member only. He was a practice squad member only. Now, Joe used that big B word when regarding to Tabucky Jones. All of the
bust.
I guess the big B word.
He made a play in the Super Bowl, though.
So did Malcolm Butler, and he's not anything either. So.
Here we go.
So if you look at Tabucky Jones, Joe used the big B word. And I'm looking at his career NFL stats. He played from 98 to 05 on active rosters. Okay, and you look at his career stats. Okay, tackles, 420. Interceptions, 6. Forced fumbles, 7. That's it.
That's better than I would have done.
That's better than I thought you were going to tell me, actually. I can't believe he had 400 tackles in the NFL, but okay.
Now, on August 1st, 2008, Tabucky Jones was arrested at the Mohegan Sun Casino in Yonkersville, Connecticut, after he was accused of allegedly making inappropriate contact with a woman in the lobby and then punched her boyfriend in the face when he got involved. So the boyfriend tried to stop him, and he knocked out the boyfriend.
Attaboy, Tabucky.
Now, His brother, James Jones, also graduated from New Britain High School, currently works as the dean of students at Slade Middle School in New Britain. But you didn't know that, Jeremy.
Older or younger? I didn't. Older
I
or
don't really
brother.
Care.
It doesn't matter. His son, Tabucky Jones Jr.,
Tabucky Jones Jr. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Played college football at the University of Connecticut and Fordham University. So, a little bit on Tabucky there, former Patriot.
Tabucky, passing on the horrible first name. Named his brother James,
34.
And then they go Tabucky with the other one. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know why either, but it's so funny because it says spouse.
Maybe his dad was known. Trying to get lucky, but he got Tabucky instead.
Well, that was clever. Spouse, Janet Jones, brother, James Jones, son, Tabucky Jones Jr. I was like, okay,
Tabucky.
Well then. He's
married to Wayne Gretzky's wife?
No. No, he's married to...
That was a joke, jackass.
I was going to say, what? Wife's name is James Jones. All right, so anyway. I love you, Tabucky, if you're listening or if you have people listening. I know you won't remember me. There was like 300-400 people who lined up for your autograph. In fact, the number of people who were there was about the number of tackles you made in your 8-year career. So let's put it
that way.
That's
not fair.
Anyway,
that's not nice. Hey, Chris, did you have the fattest neck at the alumni thing?
I actually, Jeremy,
you must
when
have.
You see me again, when you see me again, Texas School of Broadcasting, I look much different now.
Oh, please. You're fatter now?
Yeah, I went, I went back on my isogenics, and I'm getting
on
back
your what?
Into my college isogenics
colonics?
Program. No, not colonics. That's gross. I'm going back on that program, and I'm losing the weight, and I'm getting back in shape, and I'm getting back to my college playing weight. When you
Here
see me,
go.
I'm going to be like in shape and fit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Keep dreaming. You're gonna be a goddamn balloon, I see. We could put hot air in you and float you around.
I support your efforts, Chris. Get it done, man.
Jeremy, don't encourage him.
Jeremy.
What?
You're no skinny man yourself, though.
Well, no shit. I never claimed to be. You would do.
See, thin people make fun of fat people. Fat people don't diss other fat people. We need to stick together on this. We need to be united on this. Fat people united.
There we go. Fine.
Yeah.
Fine. You're fat and ugly. There.
Good. And good. Now, can you admit that you are as well?
Dude. I've been fat since I was 13, dude. Like, it's what's the biggest fucking secret you ever heard in your life. Take a look at any picture.
You
can't miss me.
You see, it all starts with acceptance. That's
but I'm still better
is.
Looking than Tom Brady, so that's all I'm going to say.
Well, yeah, Tom Brady is not. I don't know what women see in Tom Brady, honestly. Not
money.
That I judge guys in that manner.
Money.
Yeah, but not that I judge guys in that manner, but I don't see it.
You're a liar. Lies.
Lies. Freaking lies. So anyways, guys, we got about a half hour left here in this new 90-minute format. I'm looking at Joe.
We have 16 minutes, you idiot.
Whatever. I brought up Tabucky Jones here. I brought up Tabucky Jones because, for the Patriots, Chris Long has decided he's not going to be signing with the Patriots.
Yeah.
Is the number one need for your New England Patriots coming up on this combine and coming up on this NFL draft in the recent future here? Is it pass rush?
Is it pass rush? No, I don't think it's pass. Well, yeah, it is pass rush. Well, it's D lineman. It's D line, which translates to pass rush most of the time. So yeah, that to answer your question in short, yeah, I mean losing Chris Long, he had a good season. You know, he was a contributor. But he's not the player he once was, if he ever really was all that good. But so losing him is no big loss, but we need a good body in there. He was solid. So we at least need someone solid to replace him. Now, Trey Flowers had his coming out party this season. He looks like he could be a real stud. We've got Alan Branch, Malcolm Brown, but I do think that you will see first, second round picks going on the D line or the tight end spot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they go after a tight end. And, Joe, a guy that I want you to look up, if I mispronounce his name, I apologize, but it's David Njoku, David Njoku. He's a tight end from the University of Miami, the Hurricanes.
Okay, and I have heard of him, yeah.
And I see him being the guy that they take because Jake Butt got injured. He has knee issues. I think O.J. Howard's going to go a couple picks before that. I would really look at this kid. He is going to be a solid, solid grab. He's just about the same size as Gronk, but he's faster, better hands. And
where did he play? Miami?
Miami,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, David Njoku.
And he's black, so he wins by default. He's more athletic by default. So,
oh, stop
that's
that.
That's what it is. So, no, it's true. So, they are. They're just better athletes than we are. So, and that's pretty much the case. So, and you know it's true, Jeremy. So,
I don't really
care.
Look
him up.
40
look
time
up.
Was.
Not,
I'm looking not, up right
well,
now.
They haven't done the combine yet.
No, you're right. But they have some stats on him. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
he's
I'm reading the overview. Strengths.
Watch his highlight video, too, on YouTube. It's pretty dope.
He's 6'4", 245 pounds. Bottom line, ascending pass-catching talent with elite athleticism and enough fight in his run blocking to believe that he could be lined up anywhere. That sounds solid. I bet you that's somebody that Bill has got his eyes on because, like you said, what's the Jordan Howard? Is that the guy's name? The top guy? The best tight end?
O.J. Howard. O.J. Howard.
O.J. Howard.
O.J. Howard, thank you. Yeah, we won't get him, but because he'll go, he's probably going to go first round easily, right? You think?
Yeah.
It'd
be top 10 pick if he doesn't fall that far.
Yeah.
O.J. was innocent. So, yeah, that's what it is.
Jesus.
Listen, if the gloves don't fit, you must have quit. You know what I'm saying?
So speaking of drafting, now, the Dallas Cowboys, what are the Cowboys need forward? They got to draft defense, don't they?
If we use a pick on anything but defense in the first four rounds, I'm probably going to throw something through my television.
good move.
The only thing, although I might be there, actually, I put a bid in.
At the draft?
I got to go there. To try to go there and set up a table with a big banner, whatever. And I would need a co-host, so I might bring one of you guys. But anyway.
Dude, I would love to be there. Let's put it that way.
I would make fun of everybody.
Yeah, you probably would. No, wait. Could you guys picture Dustin? Like,
not a chance in hell. Not a chance in hell.
Well, I also put in a bid to be one of those guests, you know, readers, where it's like, you know, and to announce this pick is so-and-so from, to announce the Cowboy pick, it'd be like, and to announce this pick, would be longtime Cowboys fan Dustin Bork from Overtime.News, or whatever the hell we're called now, it'd be like, and Dustin would be like, with the 18th pick in the fourth round of the 2017 NFL draft, the Dallas Cowboys select, are you fucking kidding me? You just picture Dustin? He stacks that on him, you know? I can totally picture
hilarious.
That. So I put a guest bid in for that as well. But anyways,
great.
Dallas, yes, we need defense. I don't think we're going to go after pass rush because right now I know that this is going to sound cocky to say, and I know Jeremy's going to give me shit about it because he's going to anyway, no matter what I say.
I'm not saying anything.
But right now, the job to have, okay, is on the Dallas Cowboys. They are the hot commodity. Them or the Patriots are the hot commodity ticket items that you want to get your hands on. If you have a chance right now to get a decent contract and get in to play for the Dallas Cowboys, they're trending upward. This is a team you want to be on now. And there's a lot of defensive line free agents who are gonna be able to finagle somewhere in our pay structure to be able to go get these guys. Guys like Nick Fairley, for example, is going to be up there, who, yeah, he was okay on Detroit, but, you know, I think he's got a lot more potential than that. I think that NFL, hold on a second here, free agents. I had the list here in front of me. I got to check my notes. Well, Eric Berry was just locked up. Chandler Jones is coming out on free agency again from Arizona.
You're gonna have
Calais Campbell, Kawan Short, although Short is probably going to re-sign with the Panthers. You know, Melvin Ingram. There are guys that are coming up on free agency here. As of September 1st. You know, you're looking at these guys, 27, 31, Calais Campbell, but that's still not terrible. You know, you've got 28, 27, 28. You got a lot of guys who are young, still young, but also veterans at the same time, who have already expressed interest in helping to bolster that pass rush in Dallas. So now, since our pick is going to be like 26th or 27th at this point, actually, I think, let's see what we got here, 26. Now what we're going to do is I think we take secondary. I would go out and get a Desmond King, who's a ball hawk, and Joe, you can look these guys up if you want to, but a Desmond mm-hmm. King, ball hawk out of Iowa, corner.
Mm-hmm.
I like a Dory Jackson out of USC. Malik, now I know Jeremy would give me shit all next season if we drafted this guy because of his last name, but Stacy from Ohio State, Malik Hooker. Okay, his last name, yes, his last
you can
name
have
is
him. You can have him.
Yeah, his last name is Hooker. There are some guys. See, Joe, you would giggle at that. So there are some guys out there that I think we can get in free agency and pass rush. I think we go after corner in the draft. Also, Doug Free, who's a turnover machine, and I want Doug Free gone. A penalty machine. Also approaching 33 years of age, he's going to be a free agent, and I want him gone. He's not going to, but I want him gone because then we can go out in the second or third round, draft another high-profile tackle. We can move Lyle Collins into guard when Larry leaves and put another tackle out there and have the best offensive line of football. We're already going to have the best offensive line of football for the next five or six years.
Yeah, you already have it. Yeah.
Other than Doug Free, does this make you just – tell me if this doesn't make you sick. Other than Doug Free – who's 33 years old, okay, and Leary, who I'm not counting because Leary's going to be gone after this year, and he doesn't consistently start. But you look at outside of that guy, the oldest guy on our offensive line is 25.
Wow. That makes me sick.
So, yeah.
Congratulations.
So we're going to have that line for quite some time. That's why I think we need to draft defense now. Because the problem is Dak and Zeke have proven they can score with anybody. They can put up 35, 40 points a game.
Absolutely.
Problem is we can't stop anybody. And
right.
We haven't been able to stop anybody for the last probably close to a decade. So Jerry Jones needs to suck it up, not worry about going out and getting the sexy pick. And
get some blue
calls. Going to be
guys who are going to build the foundation of that defense.
Yeah,
smart
blue chip, hard nosed player. You know, and I don't want him to. I don't want him to do too much though. I don't want him to give up a lot. You know, to go up and get a guy like Jonathan Allen.
He won't
guy,
care.
He probably will. But a guy like Jonathan Allen or Myles Garrett, if he's like, oh. My coach's last name is Garrett. How cool would that be? And he gives
nice.
Up everything to go up and get the number one pick. You know,
stupid.
I just
drunk.
I just
old
don't.
Drunk that he
yeah,
is.
Well, drunk. You heard your guys.
oh yeah.
You guys
oh
heard
yeah.
Your,
he's got the crap.
Your owner accepting the Super Bowl trophy. He was
this
like
is the greatest. This is the sweetest.
God, that was brilliant. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loves his Manischewitz.
I bet he does.
We're going with that. I love it.
Yeah, Manischewitz. Is he Jewish? I don't think he's Jewish. Is he? Robert Kraft?
Oh yeah.
Oh he is.
Oh yeah. In fact, when he first bought the team and he wanted to put a new stadium in, he wanted to put it in South Boston, and there was a lot of the people around there didn't want him because there was a latent anti-Semitism there, and I thought it was disgusting, frankly.
Are you serious? That's terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was awful. The Irish powers that be didn't want a Jewish guy putting a stadium in there. That's really all it was. I mean, there was no other reason for it, you know? I mean, it was a perfect deal. It was a great spot right in the city. There was a ton of space, ton of land there. It would have been wonderful. It would have been amazing, you know, but...
Too bad. Oh, what the hell is that? The cost of personality. I know your anger. I know your dreams. What the hell is this? I've been
everything you want. Gentlemen, that music can only mean one thing. We have somebody very special on the line who obviously wants to make a point because he's calling with only 4 minutes left in the goddamn show. What's up?
Well, I mean, you got the wrong show. I don't need the music intro. This isn't the wrestling show, but that's...
Oh, Christ.
Well,
I got 3 minutes left, pal.
Yeah, but it's always fun to cut off Jeremy with some cult of personality. It's fun.
I don't care.
Continue?
I could give a shit less.
No, but I don't know. So what do you think about the rumors about AP to the Cowboys? What do you think about
Oakland?
I think it's a that would be, but see, that's the equivalent in my mind of joining the Cowboys. They already have a feature back. They have a solid running back. They don't need him. But I think the Patriots, that would be a very thrifty move, but they're unwilling to pay big money. But would he finally be willing to not be about me? Is he really about winning a championship? Because
I don't want him on the Giants.
About this. I don't want him on the Giants either, because then the Giants would be good. Yeah, I don't want him on the Giants. I want the Giants to be scrubs. So point is, Adrian Peterson, this poor bastard, even though he's beaten his kid, he has never had a top-tier quarterback. He had a huge So he had a washed-up Brett, and look how good they were. They were 13-3. They were in the playoffs again. The Vikings were a threat when Brett was 40. So could he go to a Brady and finally play with another he's not washed up yet, but he's going to be there soon. Could he play with a great veteran and finally have a quarterback to take the pressure off?
I can't imagine him giving that kind of money. He won't go there.
No, and they won't give him the kind of money that's going to be the problem.
Don't you think if the Pats convinced Revis to take less, they could convince Adrian Peterson?
I think they could, but I don't think he'd care about that.
Yeah, I think – I see your point there, Dustin, and it's really valid, although the problem is I think AP might be done. He might be cooked.
Right.
You're right.
So Revis was not cooked.
You know, Dustin, you just brought up an interesting point that I'm curious about. We need secondary, and you know as much as I know that Brandon Carr can't cover his own pillow – and on the other side,
Claiborne's gone.
Hold on. No. It's a metaphor, Jeremy. Relax. So, and that we know that Morris Claiborne can't.
I got it, asshole.
So, here's my question. You want to talk about washed up, coming off of bad years. Do you think it would be a smart move for Jerry Jones to open up that checkbook and throw some money at Darrell Revis? Would you like Revis on the team?
Oh, I would love that because he could go to safety and then think about what he could do with the world record-setting broad jump Byron Jones. If he taught Byron Jones how to be – I'm talking about bringing Peterson as a coach at this point, not as a player.
Right.
Like, obviously, he'd be in a uniform, but he'd be there as an Ed Reed, as a veteran that could teach the young guys.
Yeah.
At we got that young corner, Brown, who, even though he got roasted on occasion, he's very good and he's very fast. And he needs a veteran to teach him the ropes.
I don't know if Revis wants to be a mentor at this point in his career.
Do you think Revis even wants to play? And if he wants to play,
does he
to play safety?
Sure, he does.
Tell me this, though. Any player is refreshed when they're playing on a great team with a great player, right?
True.
Yeah, your whole mindset changes.
So I would argue that last night I watched the first half of the Cavaliers game. That was the most energized I've seen Darren Williams since he showed up and collected his first paycheck in Brooklyn, that piece of shit. So
all it takes sometimes
is a change of scenery, playing with a great teammate.
Mm.
You can't tell me that if AP or Darrell Revis showed up in the presence of a Tom Brady that everything wouldn't change. Darrell Revis
was
with the Patriots. Granted, the Patriots didn't hang him out to dry and have him play man-to-man on the best receiver. He covered the second-best receiver with the Pats, and they played double and they played zone on the best receiver. So I think personally, I think Revis is worth paying big money to bring in and to mentor young guys if he wants to be in a good spot. The Jets are a dumpster fire, man. He went back to the Jets because he even admitted he wanted the long-term deal. He wanted stability. But now he doesn't even have that. They're over him. Now, what's a franchise that is notoriously doesn't have a problem with giving guys with baggage a shot? Hence Revis and his off-field issues this year. Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. Oakland Raiders also. So I think Revis going to one of those two young teams, the Raiders, the Cowboys, and being a mentor, either a mentor at corner and playing maybe the inside, you know, playing, being the nickel corner, or being going to convert, be a safety, be a hybrid safety corner like Byron Jones. But he needs to pass on his knowledge, or he'll forever go down as the selfish holding out guy who sold his soul to the Patriots for 1 year to get his ring. He won't go down as the Deion Sanders guy. So he needs to be willing. He needs to be willing to give back and to coach some guys. And I think it's laid out in front of him. Do what Primetime did. Prime won. Then he went to the Cowboys, won again. Do what Prime did. Go to the Cowboys when you're a little past your prime and put them up. Show them how to do it. Show the young guys how to do it. If you can turn these young guys into legit corners and legit safeties, right there, you're a Hall of Famer. Just because of the fact that you came and went and made everyone around you better. The LeBron James thing that Chris was dogging on earlier, he doesn't do that. I think other players make LeBron better. I think LeBron got better when he got with Dwayne Wade. I don't think
that's
he made Dwayne Wade better.
I said LeBron doesn't make players better. Other players make LeBron better. That's exactly my point.
Yeah, I think LeBron last night looked great because Darren Williams was hitting him with wide open pocket passes that Kyrie doesn't necessarily give him to because Kyrie dribbles the ball a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So you're bringing in new guys. This is the other thing. I told you guys this last week. This move with Darren Williams is a big move for the Cavs because they all played on the Olympic team together, and they fucking love each other. All those guys, that whole crew. The Cavaliers are basically Team USA's B squad. They're all familiar with each other, and they've all won gold medals together. So, that was a good win by the Celtics, and I think over a seven-game series, I don't know. I think it'll be tough, but I think – It's the definition of a true team with a coach in the Celtics versus a superstar who needs everything run through him, and we'll see what wins.
Can we over under that Brooklyn win in seven games total next year or no?
Oh yeah, they'll win over. You got to think just as bad as Brooklyn is, they're gonna play a team. Well, look at they got a win last night against Sacramento, who's worse than Brooklyn.
It's
hard to do.
That's terrible.
You know, so and every once in a while, you're gonna get lucky against a good team that doesn't take you seriously or rest the entire starting lineup.
So 11-71, then we'll take it.
we'll see what happens with this pick. Right, we got a first round pick, which is rare. We got one from Washington, so we're gonna see what happens with this first round pick. And then I think realistically, I think we'll get a free agent this offseason. I think somebody will want to be a big fish in a little pond, even though that sounds weird because Brooklyn's not a little pond. But someone's going to want to be the head of a team because they have an ego, but they're not really a deserving head, like a Chris Bosch in Toronto, for example. We'll get a guy like that, and we'll overpay him and give him a max contract because we have tons of cap space. So I don't think we will be as bad as we are this year, next year, because I think we'll get somebody in the offseason. I just don't know who it'll be.
Gordon Hayward. There you go.
Yeah, listen, even if it was Gordon Hayward, I'm not going to lie, he's the perfect guy for Atkinson.
He is.
The Spurs, you got to think, man, it's the Spurs and the Atlanta Hawks when they were good that year. So that's the system that's trying to be implemented in Brooklyn. They want team guys. They want ball movement. They don't want any me, Carmelo, Darren Williams, Joe Johnson guys. They want team guys, defense first. So they're trying to basically rebuild and create the Celtics right now. And in order to do that, you need a bunch of guys that are no-name guys that are making kind of mid-level money that'll all buy into a coach's system. And that's the only reason why Jeremy Lin was brought in, because Lin's sanity happened under Kenny Atkinson. So they're familiar with each other, but Lynn's a piece of trash. He's garbage. I never liked him in New York when he went off for 55 points against us.
Wow.
He's trash. But tell me,
is that it?
Tell me that Revis as a mentor for the Cowboys wouldn't make the most sense out of everything.
It would. I just don't know what he wants to do.
I don't think he would.
Thing,
I don't think he's ready for
he
that.
He would need
yet.
To be convinced of that, but it would work. But he has to be bought in.
Obviously,
they could convince
the
him.
I think it's based on the pay because I think
yes,
he's
it is.
Perfect to be a mentor right now if he doesn't even have to do anything. Like if we're willing to pay him that kind of money, right? And we say no pressure, just help us. I think that's more likely than if we were like, well, we're paying you the big-time money. We're going to need, you know, this kind of big-time stats out of you. That's how you know a guy's playing for the game or playing for the money. Because last year with the Jets, come on, he didn't put up numbers.
That's true. Well,
5 seconds.
Yeah.
I
don't care.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's possible. Jerry Jones has never had an issue paying people. We know that. I mean, obviously, we have a salary cap to work on. That's why I'm curious to see what happens with Romo. Because we keep him, that's a huge salary.
He's getting released.
So
it was already reported yesterday that
they won't keep
said
him.
That they're they're releasing him in 2 weeks. They already have the date set.
2 weeks? Oh, all right.
Yeah,
well, then
exactly
there you go. I was going to say, because he frees up a lot of money for us to go out and get guys.
No,
so
he doesn't.
That's why
no,
I'm excited.
He doesn't.
He's like a
$29 million
cap hit.
Oh, that's all tied up over the next 2 years. He doesn't free up dick.
Ugh.
He frees up maybe $5 million for the cap. That's why the only way we get underneath the cap for a big spending is if we restructure literally every dude's contract. That's why you've seen over the last 2 weeks our left tackle, Smith, restructured, Frederick restructured, you're going to see Witten restructured. You're going to see every guy in there who's making big money restructure and try to go less on the books, more incentive-based to try to copy the Patriots, because otherwise you have no flexibility whatsoever in the cap. You can't spend anything. So what they try to do is they backload the contract. So you make all your money on incentives and nothing is held against the cap. But there's not a lot of players that are willing to do that if they don't have any confidence in their own body to make it through a full season to hit the incentives. He doesn't free – look up the
you
numbers,
know what?
Chris. He doesn't free up anything. That's why a lot of people are like, you got to get rid of him. You got to trade him. You got to get him off the books. And people are like, well, wait a minute. The bulk of his deal is guaranteed over the next year and a half. So he's not even – it's not like if you cut him tomorrow, you get $25 million to spend. No, you're screwed. It's guaranteed money. So unless he's willing to do a buyout, which he's not willing to do a buyout, that was the only way you get that money back. So the only way to do it is literally like you're drafting. You're drafting and drafting and drafting. There's no way. We're not going to get any big-name free agents. We have no money.
Yeah, it sucks, but yeah, that makes a point. You know, and that's, I guess, what it is. But, gentlemen, today has been very interesting, very fun. We had a guest in fighting, an appearance, which is good.
Wonderful.
And, you know, we got the new music, the new setup, the new format. We're going to start having commercials. We're going to start having all sorts of fun, happy stuff. So, Joe, quick question. Are you wearing sweatpants or jeans?
What the hell kind of question is that?
All right, well, I was going to end with this. Joe, don't get a bonus. We'll see y'all on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Toss to White. He's in! Patriots win the Super Bowl! Brady has his fifth!
Yes! Oh, I was on mute when you asked that question. I'm wearing regular pants.